This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 Joycast. In this Joycast, you'll hear a summary of the weekly program. Due to copyright restrictions, the music has been edited to make this Joycast possible. For more information about the music played during the show, please visit the blog at joy.org.au/thefoolandtheopera.
This is Katie Noonan. We're celebrating Joy 94.9's sweet 16th birthday. Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of The Fool and the Opera. It's Dan Vo here with you and I'm joined in the studio today by a very special guest. Well, you should know him by now. He's a voice that will be very, very familiar to you. It's Paul, who's our opera review blogger, Paul Williamson.
Hello, Dan. It's great to be back on the show.
Yes, and I've got to say very quickly thank you to Vito and Penelope for behind the scenes and also for Gary for reading the news. And he's got his opera glasses defogger ready to go as well. So he's looking forward to today's show. So thanks for all that, guys. Now, Paul, we've got a bit of a special show lined up for today, don't we?
We do. It's our first birthday special because it's actually a year, Dan, since you first played Elena Katz-Chernin and introduced yourself as the Fool.
That's right. And barring a few changes, a few fill-ins, which you filled in for, and I think Tim Newton's filled in once as well, we're up to episode number 50, I believe it is
we
today.
We are. So that's quite amazing. And you've done a lot of hard work's gone into it, into this role, and well done, because a year is quite a long time in radio land.
it's also fantastic to have people like yourself supporting in the background and about to take over as well. You're going to be looking after the summer season, so I'm very excited about that.
The power is going to my head, absolutely.
Now, on today's show, we've got literary luminaries, dynamic divas, and a touch of magic. So we're going to look at some literary works and that have been adapted for the operatic stage. So it's going to be quite exciting.
It is going to be exciting. It's been a big week for Joy, though, hasn't it? We've had our 16th birthday. Mm. There was the World AIDS Day concert at the Positive Living Centre, which you went along to.
I did, yes. Hadley visited last week to tell us about it, and I did go see it, so we'll have a chat about that.
Excellent.
And, yeah, it has been quite a big week in terms of Joy functions. It's just gone from function to function to function. So after today, I actually get to hang up my headphones and take a few weeks leave.
Fantastic.
But the birthday was just absolutely sensational. There's photos up on the website as well for you to check out. And Katie Noonan just wished us happy birthday then. And I know that the 10 tenors, when they came in to have an interview, they also sang us happy birthday. So I'm trying to unearth that somewhere as well. So we'll play that out a little bit later.
Fantastic. Now, we would like our show to be interactive, so do SMS, email or call. The SMS number is 0427 JOY949. You can phone 1300 JOY949. That's our new phone number, which we got for our birthday. How exciting. And you can also email onair@joy.org.au. Now, since the operatic art form began, dramatic works have been adapted for the stage by composers and librettists. In a moment, we'll look at the life of William Shakespeare, but first, something a little bit lighter. We're celebrating Puccini's birthday this week. He was born on the 2nd of December, 1858, and died at the age of 65 in 1924. Now, this track that we're going to play is not quite Puccini. It's our quirky track for the week. It's the team from Forbidden Broadway with the story of M Butterfly. You're on The Fool and the Opera.
I'm a butterfly. I'm a Chinese spy, dressed in a dress, I must confess, for you never guess, I blush to lie. I'm a butterfly.
You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. That, Paul, I'm very... That's fantastic.
it's rather an amusing track, isn't it? It's the New York cast of Forbidden Broadway. It's about the 1988 play by David Henry Hwang, which was loosely based on the true story of a relationship between a French diplomat called Bernard Burisco and Shai Pi Pu, a male Peking opera singer. Now, that is, it's a true story, Dan, believe it or not.
I think that's just fantastic. I just, you know, where does he put his pee-pee?
Well, exactly. Yeah.
And I just love the way that it's taken a bit of music from Madame Butterfly, very recognisable piece, and also the song that was written by Golden Hubble, the jazz track as well, Poor Butterfly.
Yeah.
Completely transformed.
Very clever people working on Broadway, and they had a lot of fun with that track.
Can I very quickly as well, speaking of clever people, just wanted to very quickly say thank you to all the people who have been working on the behind the scenes of this particular program as well. So Jed Gilbert would be the main man.
He does
audio production.
Thanks, Jed.
gets us on the podcast. There's Jed Gulliver, who's a great supporter and helps promote us. Moonwalk and Jerry out there on the front desk.
Absolutely.
Give him a call, 1300.
Hey, Jerry. Thank you.
949. And Tanya has been supporting us as well. Paul, yourself, on the blog, doing a fantastic job,
Dan.
And about to take over the radio reins, or the radio rain, you know, depending on how you want to spell that, with a G or without. And it's just wonderful to have the support of so many people. So those are the clever people behind this particular show. And there's another clever man joining us very soon as well, Albert Bowie as well. He's going to be getting on and doing the podcast as well.
Yes, Albert's a fellow Taste of Radio classmate of mine.
Now tell me a little bit more about this play, because I'm really just quite fascinated by it. Now I hear that John Lithgow was in it.
Yes, he was, and of course he later went on to have a lot of success with Third Rock from the Sun. Anthony Hopkins and Tony Randall also played the role on Broadway, and there's actually a 1993 film version, a David Cronenberg film, which starred Jeremy Irons. So there was a Melbourne Theatre Company production back, I think it was about 1993, and from memory it featured Robert Grubb. So, yeah.
Is it the same Robert that was in Little Night Music?
That's the one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's been around a long time.
Well, look, we're going to talk a little bit. We mentioned that we'd be talking about literary luminaries.
We certainly did, Dan. And where else to start with literary luminaries than with Shakespeare, who was born in 1564 and died in 1616. As well as being a playwright, of course, he was a poet. He married Anne Hathaway when he was only 18 and she was 26. And his early plays were mainly comedies and histories, which he raised to the peak of sophistication and artistry by the end of the 16th century. He then wrote mainly tragedies until about 1608, including Hamlet, King Lear and Macbeth, considered some of the finest works in the English language. And then in the last phase of his career, he wrote tragicomedies, also known as romances, and he collaborated with other playwrights. Now, we're going to start with Hamlet, which is Shakespeare's longest play and regarded as among the most powerful and influential tragedies in the English language. Hamlet is the Prince of Denmark, and he is the son of the recently deceased King Hamlet and Queen Gertrude. The deceased king's brother, Claudius, is elected king and hastily marries Gertrude. The dead king's ghost appears to Hamlet and discloses that Claudius murdered him and calls for revenge. Polonius is Claudius's trusted chief counsellor, and his daughter Ophelia is courted by Hamlet. Hamlet stages a play reenacting his father's murder, and Claudius's reaction convinces Hamlet that he is guilty of murdering the king. During an argument with Gertrude in her chamber, Hamlet stabs the person hiding behind a curtain, thinking that it's Claudius. But instead it's Polonius, and Hamlet's lack of remorse for murdering her father sends Ophelia mad. So we're going to listen to a track from Thomas' opera Hamlet, and we're going to hear Emma Matthews with the finale of Ophelia's mad scene.
You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9 here. Dan Vo with you, and also Paul Williamson, our blog reviewer, soon to be host of The Fool and the Opera for summer. So very exciting there. And we just heard Emma Matthews perform the finale of Ophelia's mad scene from Hamlet by Thomas. And she went crazy there, didn't she, Paul?
She certainly did. She performed that track a few weeks ago with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra.
Okay.
And I was actually sitting in the front row. So, yeah, she's...
The spittle seats, as they call them.
The spittle seats, yes. And, of course, Emma's off to Covent Garden next year for her debut in Janáček's Cunning Little Vixen. As well as that, she'll be doing the Opera Australia's production of Bellini's La Sonnambula here in Melbourne in April and May. And if you're still looking for a good Christmas present and you like the sound of Emma's voice, her CD, Emma Matthews in Monte Carlo, is one to get.
I've got to say, in terms of on the Fool and the Opera blog, joy.org.au/thefoolandtheopera, one of the most talked about posts is the actual one that we posted up about Emma Matthews. So
yes,
it's very, very popular.
Yes, she's a great star. She really is. Yeah. Yep.
Now, we're going to actually talk about it, because we're in the mood of Shakespeare at the moment.
We certainly are.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about one of his most well-known Shakespeare plays. Can you guess what it is?
I'm thinking it might be Romeo and Juliet.
I think you might be right, Paul.
And it belongs to a long tradition of tragic romances which stretch way back to antiquity. One of those plays would be Pyramus and Thisbe from Ovid's Metamorphoses. But the plot of Romeo and Juliet is based on an Italian tale. And if you ever go to Verona, Dan, you will find that city has really adopted the lovers as its own. There was an earlier version set in Siena, but we won't go there. Now, Shakespeare borrowed heavily from two versions of the story, one published in verse and another in prose. And during Shakespeare's lifetime, it was among his most popular plays, and of course it's still one of his most frequently performed plays today.
Now, you were telling me a little bit before that there have been three film productions of Romeo and Juliet, in fact.
There was the gay director, George Cukor, had a multi-Oscar-nominated 1936 production.
Mm-hmm.
Gay director Franco Zeffirelli had a 1968 version, which I think you saw, haven't you?
I did. Back at the boys' school, we used to watch that as for a for school. You know, we had to watch it. And, when she showed her breasts on the screen, that was hilarious for the boys. So
I bet.
Yeah.
And she was quite well endowed, as I recall. I think it was Olivia Hussey from memory.
See, I can't remember. I only remember the cod pieces being very large parts.
Of course, of course.
In the play itself. And finally, there's one final version, which I'm sure everyone knows about, Paul.
That's right. It's straight director Baz Luhrmann's 1996 MTV-inspired Romeo plus Juliet.
Which just happens to be the campest of all three, I think.
Well, probably, yes. But, a great show. So we're going to listen to Gounod's version of A Romeo and Juliet, and to sing will be Dame Joan Sutherland to perform Je veux vivre. You're on The Fool and the Opera.
You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. Yes, it is a birthday. It's a birthday of all birthdays today. It's Puccini's birthday, Joy's birthday, our birthday. And if anyone else, it's your birthday, please
and
do let
us know. And a belated birthday to Dame Joan Sutherland, who turned 83 on the 7th of November.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yes. Now, that little track there was Je veux vivre from Romeo and Juliet by Gounod. And incidentally, also the aria that won it for a little girl named Christy Swift. Well, not a little girl. She's about... she was 29 when she won the Herald Sun aria competition back in 2006. So wow. That was the song that won it for her.
Woohoo.
Beautiful track as well.
You were there that night, I assume.
Oh, I wasn't. No, this was pre my opera days.
Okay,
so.
All right.
But I'm sure it would have been absolutely fantastic. So, yeah. Now, we've just played a bit of track from Romeo and Juliet because we are talking about literary greats that have been... transferred into opera and done very well as well by Baz Luhrmann did it as a film.
He did,
and he's also worked on a little thing called La Boheme as well.
He did, and had a great success with it both here in Australia and overseas.
Mm.
So yes, he's a very talented man, is our Baz. Did you see Australia, Dan?
I refrained from seeing it because
it's,
of all the press around it.
It's not as bad as a lot of people made it out to be. I actually quite enjoyed it.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a good eye.
He's got a very good eye.
He's a good eye for good talent. And I suppose one of the good talents that he has caught his eye would have been Mr. DiCaprio.
Definitely. Yes, Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes, of course, were the stars of his version of Romeo and Juliet.
Mm.
Now, and speaking of Shakespeare, Dan, it's the 21st anniversary of Shakespeare Under the Stars, and they're having a special gala 21st anniversary performance on Monday the 21st of December. That's in the Botanical Gardens, and it will run through into January, February, in fact, all the way to the 13th of March. So do check that out. There are more details at australianshakespearecompany.com.au.
Fantastic. Yes. I presume we'll also post something up on the blog as well. So
I think
check
we
that.
Will, because that's a nice thing to do on a summer's evening when it's nice and warm here in Melbourne.
Have you been?
I have been several years ago. And in fact, they also did a production of Romeo and Juliet some years ago, which I also saw. So, it's fun to go to the gardens and check out a bit of Shakespeare.
I'm going to ask, what do you pack in your picnic basket?
Oh, gosh. You know, the usual champagne, maybe some pate and dips and, you know, a bit of carrot sticks and celery sticks, that sort of thing.
A bit of crudité. Yeah.
That's the one. Now, are we going to move on to Victorien Sardou and his play entitled La Tosca, which was turned into the famous opera Tosca by Puccini. Now, Sardou was a French dramatist who was born in Paris in 1831 and died in 1908. As a young man, he suffered typhoid but was nursed back to health by a neighbour, whom he later married. In 1860, he enjoyed success with a play called A Scrap of Paper. But it was for Dora, and in 1882, and many of his later plays written expressly for the famed French actress Sarah Bernhardt, which really made his name. And for a while there, he ranked with the two undisputed leaders of the dramatic art. Dan, can I hand over to you to pronounce these?
Oh, see, this is not fair. No. Okay, I'm going to go with
You're
Emile Augouard
French.
And
Alexandre
Dumas.
Yeah. But he lacked their powerful humour and eloquence and some of the passionate conviction and pungent wit of Dumas in particular. But he was a master of the clever and easy-flowing dialogue, so perhaps the 1880s French equivalent of David Williamson or Joanna Murray Smith. Now, George Bernard Shaw coined the term Sardoodledon to describe Sardou's plays, saying his dramatic machinery was contrived and his plays empty of ideas. Tosca was written in 1887, also for Sarah Bernhardt, and it was adapted by Puccini in 1900.
You're almost on the fall in the opera, in fact. I should quickly mention that this particular track is a favourite of Hadley Adams.
Oh, excellent. Hello,
yes.
Hadley.
and I did see him perform at the Positive Living Centre recently. I should mention the fact that we also had Justice Michael Kirby speak at that particular...
How did it go, Dan?
It was... Hadley was fantastic, absolutely amazing, and he really connected with the audience. And he sang just before they had the memorial service as well, which was just absolutely breathtaking. It was a very emotional sort of night. And Justice Kirby himself, when he spoke, I think he had John Jackson perform just before he got on, and he just didn't expect the power of John Jackson, I suppose.
What did John Jackson perform?
I can't quite remember. I'll have to get back to you
on
that
one. But it was powerful.
It was absolutely powerful. And Justice Kirby was seen to sort of look around the space and sort of look at the AIDS quilt.
Yes.
And he must have just been brought up to the stage just before he could compose himself, because for the first time in public speaking, he broke down and cried.
Wow.
So we've actually got a recording of that, which is going to be played on Well 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 in the coming weeks. So please do stay tuned to Well Well Well. It's on Thursdays at 7. So I highly recommend that you listen for Justice Kirby's very moving speech about AIDS and what it means to our community in particular.
Excellent. Excellent.
And I suppose that something to think about as you listen to this particular track by Maria Callas.
Absolutely.
You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9.
Award-winning radio serving our community. Joy 94.9.
You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. That is the most beautiful voice there. Maria Callas singing Visi d'Arte. Art and beauty, I believe it means. Paul.
Correct. I live for art. I live for love. Mm. Yeah.
And, well, we wanted to play a Maria Callas track because it's very much, it's the birthday special this week.
It is
week.
The birthday special. Maria Callas was born on December 2nd, 1923, and she died at the tragically young age of 53 in 1977. And I think we also heard a little bit of Wagner in there too, didn't we?
Yes. I'm learning to count today. Three comes before four, I've just found out. So you would have heard Maria Callas sing a bit of Wagner. But recently you did see a bit of Wotan.
I did see a bit of Wagner yesterday. The MSO with John Wegner. John Wegner sang Wotan's Farewell, and the MSO played the Magic Fire music. And that was rather wonderful and a very interesting concert with also some Brahms. And John Wegner will be back in Melbourne in April to sing the role of Scarpia with Nicole Yule and Rosario Lispina in Tosca.
I love Tosca.
I know, so do I.
Amazing opera. Now, I've got Paul, you've done some research, and I think this is fantastic. You've got Franco Zeffirelli's latest film in 2002. It was entitled Callas Forever. It was a biographical film about the diva herself.
Indeed. Now, I've never seen that film. It starred the French actress Fanny Ardant as Callas, and I think it was a real flop. The New York Times movie critic Stephen Holden called it the kind of what-if movie you might have expected to be made about Elvis Presley, but not about the quintessential opera diva of the 20th century. And he went on to say, it's a lip-syncing hall of mirrors. It is essentially a piece of highbrow karaoke. So I don't think we'll be rushing down to our DVD stores for that one.
I think that's fantastic.
Now, I think we've had a bit of feedback, have we?
We have.
We've had an email, a message saying, great program, guys. You've identified all the gay film directors. Don't forget we can claim Shakespeare as one of our own. All those sonnets to young men.
I think that's quite clever. That's from Christopher from Fitzroy.
So oh, thank you, Christopher. I think I know Christopher very well. Hello, Chris and John. And what's that other one?
Another gentleman that we know very well, Moonwalking Jerry, has just texted in as well, saying that it's a beautiful aria. Really.
Thank you,
wonderful.
Jerry. Thank you. We do appreciate feedback. Now,
sonnets to young men might be a good cue to go to the next section.
I think so.
Or at least a bit of literary writing for
Absolutely.
Young men.
Absolutely. We've got a German novelist, short story writer, social critic, philanthropist, essayist, and the 1929 Nobel Prize laureate, Thomas Mann. He was born in Lübeck in 1875 and baptized as a Lutheran. His father died when he was only 16 and the family moved to Munich, where he lived until he fled to Switzerland in 1933 when Hitler came to power. In 1905, he married Katia Pringsheim, the daughter of a prominent secular Jewish family of intellectuals, and they had six children, three of whom became famous writers. His diaries were unsealed in 1975, and they tell of his struggles with his sexuality, which were reflected in his works, most notably the novella Death in Venice, which was published in 1912. Now, Death in Venice, Dan, is the story of Aschenbach, a widowed writer who's dedicated to his art, and he meets the teenage boy Tadzio in Venice and becomes obsessed with him. The novella is constructed on a framework of references to Greek mythology, and Aschenbach's Venice seems to be populated by the gods. Now, a film of Death in Venice starring Dirk Bogarde was made by Luchino Visconti in 1971, and in 1973, Benjamin Britten created an opera based on the story in which he cast his lover Peter Piers as the ageing Aschenbach, and it was to be Britten's final opera. Now, we're going to hear from Benjamin Britten's Death in Venice, Peter Piers to perform The Boy Tadzio Shall Inspire Me. And I'm dedicating this one to Jed Gilbert and Nick Bassett.
Two boys who inspire us, I suppose.
Correct.
Help us out on the show.
That's right.
You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9.
You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. I'm Paul Williamson and I'm here with Dan Vaux. And we just heard Peter Piers with The Boy Tadzio Shall Inspire Me, from which is the first act finale, Dan, from the opera Death in Venice by Benjamin Britten. What did you think of that?
Very interesting piece of music. There's the heavy timps kind of, you know, booming around, and then the very light sort of bell-like, almost gamelan-like music, which I understand was inspired from Indonesian gamelan instruments.
That's right. It's described as an astringent score marked by some haunting soundscapes of ambiguous Venice. And the Opera Australia did a production of this in 2006, which was directed by Jim Sharman, whose production of Così fan tutte, of course, the Aussie Così, is currently running at the Arts Centre. Another two performances of Così and another two performances of Aida. And, of course, we will talk about in a moment André Previn's A Streetcar Named Desire, which opened this week. Before we do that, I just want to put in a little plug too. Today, Dan, I went off to see The Top Twins, Untouchable Girls, which has got nothing to do with opera, but it's a hoot and well worth checking out. It's currently playing at Palace Cinemas and also at Cinema Nova. So
great.
Do go and check out The Top Twins.
Well, while we're plugging things that have nothing to do with opera then, I went and saw The Jezebels last night. Fantastic. And
Who are the Jezebels, Dan?
The Jezebels are a fantastic band from Sydney, Aussie indie band. I've been put on a dare by a friend to say that I should not do anything operatic while I'm on my break.
Right.
So I'm trying to listen to, you know, young people music. I say that with quotation marks as well.
I see the quotation marks. I see them.
Yes. And but coincidentally, I don't know, this is me being egotistical, I did let them know that I was going to come to the performance. The lead singer, Hayley, did wear an opera t-shirt, so I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but hey.
I'm sure it did, Dan. I'm sure it did. And look, just going back to Death in Venice to say one more thing about that, there is a modern take on the story. There's a 1997 film called Love and Death on Long Island, which starred John Hurt as the aging person, and the Beverly Hills 90210's Jason Priestley was the spunky young man. So That's one that you may wish to check out at the DVD store over summer, Dan.
Doesn't sound terribly tempting. I don't think I'll be rushing to the DVD store for that one either. I don't know, Paul.
No. Okay, now look, our final playwright tonight is Tennessee Williams, who was born Thomas Lanier Williams in 1911 and died in 1983. He changed his name to Tennessee, which was the state where his father was born. He won the Pulitzer Prize for drama twice, for A Streetcar Named Desire in 1948 and for Cat on a Hot Tin Roof in 1955, which of course was also made into a film with Elizabeth Taylor and Paul Newman. He was very close to his beautiful sister Rose, who was diagnosed with schizophrenia at a young age. She was institutionalised and spent most of her adult life in mental hospitals. She was lobotomised in 1937 and the operation incapacitated her for the rest of her life. And for doing that, Tennessee never forgave his parents who gave permission for that operation. Now, he shared a long personal relationship with a man called Frank Merlo, which lasted from 1947 until Merlo's death in 1963. And it was during this stable period of his life that Williams created his most enduring works. He had frequent bouts with depression and he was a heavy user of alcohol and other drugs. And sadly, he choked on an eye drop bottle cap in 1983. Now, Andre Previn has turned A Streetcar Named Desire into a wonderful opera and he wrote it specifically for René Fleming. And René Fleming actually asked Andre Previn for a set piece which would be effective out of context. And he wrote the next piece that we're about to hear. It's called I Want Magic, and it uses words from Tennessee Williams's play, in which Blanche, the desperate spinster, is defiantly proclaiming her life's credo to Mitch, the suitor who has lost faith in her. From A Streetcar Named Desire, here is Renee Fleming to sing I Want Magic.
You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. That was Renee Fleming with I Want Magic from A Streetcar Named Desire. Beautiful track there, Paul.
Thank Absolutely beautiful. There are two more performances in the Opera Australia season this Tuesday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. So do go along and check that out if you like the sound of Renee there. Mm. Now, I also want to remind you that The Fool and the Opera team is off to see Opera Australia's production of La Boheme at the Meyer Music Bowl this Friday night, the 11th of December.
Mm, it should be a lot of fun.
It should be great fun, hoping for a nice warm evening. It kicks off at 8 o'clock. The gates open at 4 and the message on the Opera Australia website is arrive early. And
if you want a good seat, you've got to get in early.
You've got to get in early because they do lock the doors or the gates at some stage.
And no one can get in or out.
That's right. And you can take reasonable amounts of food and alcohol with you, but they do recommend no umbrellas or backrests and umbrellas are highly discouraged and may be subject to restriction.
So our rainbow umbrellas are
no go. No, we can't do the rainbow umbrellas. Dan, we'll have to stick to the green carnations. And, of course, it features Antoinette Halloran as Mimi, Carlo Baricelli as Rodolfo and Taryn Fiebig as Musetta. That's just about all the time we've got tonight, isn't it, Dan?
It is all the time that we've got tonight, and for me, all the time that I've got for summer. So I would like to formally hand over now to you,
Paul. Thank you, Dan. Consider I'm the baby's accepting yours. Your gift.
And I do really hope you'll enjoy it. Are you looking forward to the next 8 weeks?
I am looking forward, yes. I've been doing a lot of thinking. I can tell you that it'll be a very gay show on the week leading up to Christmas. Very gay indeed.
We'd expect nothing less.
We would.
So thank you very much for taking over, Paul, and I do hope you'll have a lot of fun. And please do join Paul. Now, as Renee Fleming would say, I suppose, well, I can't say it actually this week because I won't be coming back next week. So, Paul, why don't you do the honours now?
As Renee Fleming might say, we'll see you next time. Same Fledermaus time, same Fledermaus channel. This has been The Fool and the Opera.
For listening to the Joycast of The Fool and the Opera from Joy 94.9. You can find more Joycasts and the program blog at joy.org.au/The Fool and the Opera. The Fool and the Opera is produced by Dan Vo and Jed Gilbert, thanks to the support of Joy sponsors and members. Please help support it by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.